Thank you, Jesus, for the warning. Please grant us the vision and grace necessary to avoid these attacks. Amen. To my most precious veteran heart dwellers, there is an attack coming from the enemy against those of us who've been on the channel for a very long time. But here's the warning. It's going to begin with something so small and subtle that you will not recognize it when it begins. At least not without God's grace. Please be on extreme alert for the little foxes that spoil the vine. One little decision can have huge repercussions, so be on the lookout for what the enemy is up to. Forewarned is forearmed. Ezekiel grew up on the bayou, and he would come down early in the morning to go fishing, and he kept finding water in his boat. He and his dad went out fishing, but when they came back, the boat was getting fuller and fuller of water. Finally, it was so bad, they just had to find the leak. And they did after an extremely careful search. It was one tiny pinhole in the hull, barely visible with the naked eye. What I have noticed consistently, at least in our lives, is that many times a door gets opened. It could be as small a thing as an attitude about someone. I had to repent today and pray a short prayer to neutralize and bless that person. Forgive me, Lord, that was wrong. Please bless them. But very, very little things like that open the door. And as I have observed before, the Lord uses what lands, curses that land, partially for releasing graces on a person or situation you are praying for, and partially to correct us and mature us and get us back on track, much like sheepdogs nip at the heels of straying sheep to guide them back into the corral. You see, I have asked him to take me back to my days of utter simplicity, which some people might call poverty, I don't know, when I had very, very little to distract my attention. And boy, was I happy to be free of those things and be able to be thinking about the Lord all the time, free from those distractions. You know, when you step into society, there's the right look, there's the right heels with the right pose, with the right dress, with the right purse, with the right hairstyle, with the right jewelry, the whole right thing. The distractions that are so vain and silly and rob us of attention that could have been put totally on the Lord. Because we were in the public eye, this was just something I took for granted. We had to look the part, so to speak. Of course, that wasn't necessarily true, but it definitely tempts you to live that kind of lifestyle, which is terrible, and you're always thinking about how you look and how you appear and your presentation and everything else. Forget it. I got sick of it. So going back to the time when we were in a little cabin on a hillside in Pennsylvania, it was sheer bliss. Now, living in a house, life has become more complicated. Taking care of grounds, roofing, and myriad other things that are so time-consuming and distracting. If I could, I'd move out. I really would. I'd find myself a trailer, and we'd live in a trailer on a secure piece of land and not have anything to think about but the Lord and prayer and music and, of course, being on the channel. But the Lord has told me that this house is His provision for us, so He wants me to cut back slowly on things that demand my attention and live free from responsibilities we so easily get hooked into by our desire to make things look nice. Here we go again. Back to the hoodie. Episode number 2. The navy blue hoodie. So, I discovered an open drawer with the hoodie situation from the last message. I returned the extra one, but what I didn't understand was that the first hoodie was not God's will either. And I expected some of the pressure and the attack that was on Ezekiel to to lift off when I returned that other hoodie, but it didn't. And so after he was sick for 3 days, I began to wonder, maybe the first hoodie was wrong too. So I went to the Bible Promises about it, and I got jealousy about having it. I really didn't want to give it up. So I called a prayer partner, and they confirmed the very same readings I was getting. Ezekiel has been under attack for 3 days since those hoodies came marching in the door from Amazon. The attacks began that very day. I told the Lord, Jesus, if you allow this to continue, there'll be no more ministry for me. I can't handle the pressures of seeing him sick again, messages, correspondence, and certainly not anything left in my heart for music. And I realized when I said it, that was exactly the point. If I could not conquer this disobedient tendency to walk the line, walk the fence, really, and a spirit of acquisition, be it ever so small, I cannot take this flock where he wants it to go. I realized I'm quickly approaching the point of being useless to him in the ways he wanted to use me. Very sobering, heart dwellers, very sobering. And I suppose very rewarding for my enemies to hear. But on the other hand, now that I'm sharing it with you, you're going to be wiser than me and you're not going to fall for it. So in the long run, the Lord still wins. I even got this Rhema card from my hundreds of Rhema cards. It said, I need you to get your flesh in line and to moderate your attachments to things and to be ready to go where I send you unencumbered and be the very simple and little example I need for you to be. Right. But Lord, that hoodie was very simple, wasn't it? So I've taken this warning very seriously and ask you to pray for me each day not to backslide into distractions from anything that would take me away from Jesus. As a consequence of this, as soon as I repented, the attacks against Ezekiel stopped. He rose up out of bed and went right back to his music, full force, just as happy as he could be. And you see, the Lord has to use hard measures with some of us who are bullheaded. He can't get our attention with a gentle check in our hearts or a tap on the shoulder. He has to really stop us dead in our tracks, feeling awful, to get us to go deeper and look at what we could have done to open a door for curses to land. The Lord knows I've been hamstrung when Ezekiel was sick before. Motivation goes out the window because I hurt so badly for him and have had so much to do to keep him well cared for. At the end of the day, nothing was left. And, you know, I have some thoughts about this too. What we should be doing for the Lord, obedience, should be coming from a place of love, of really extreme love for him. A love that is so focused on him that we don't want anything for ourselves. And it doesn't mean anything to us when he says no about something. But a lot of us don't put in enough prayer time to get to that deep place with him. And so we don't have the strength to resist temptation. That place of obedience isn't supposed to come from a place of fear. That's the secondary way that the Lord has to resort to with people like myself who are stubborn and headstrong. It should come from a place of extreme love and devotion to him, knowing that if he doesn't want us to have something, it's not going to be good for us. But in order to have that kind of a conscience and that kind of a heart, you have to devote more and more time to soaking prayer, dwelling prayer, and being in his presence and worshiping him more and more time. And that also tends to be a real temptation when you're loaded up with things to do in the world. It steals time from that devotion. So we've got to be ever so careful to protect that time. And when we start to get weak and emaciated spiritually, that's when the devil closes in for the kill. He sees that we're depleted because we've been so busy. We've chosen to be busy. We haven't chosen to make everybody else wait and spend that time with the Lord. And because we've chosen that, we've become weakened over a period of weeks. And I have to tell you, the devil is so sneaky. He does these things slowly and almost imperceptibly, except you will have a little bell going off in your head saying, I should have spent more time with the Lord today. That'll happen. He'll warn you. But we get so busy, we ignore that day after day after day, and before you know it, we're too weak to be able to resist temptation. So we disobey and we fall, because we're not strong enough to resist our earthly passions with His love alone. So He has to use the other measures to get us back into line. So to summarize, I think we could say the hoodie was a very small thing, but not to the Lord. The hole in the boat was very small too, but eventually left unchecked, it sank the boat. So this warning is going out to you, my very dear ones. Be ever so careful and vigilant to calculate the possible repercussions of one tiny thing out of God's will, or that might have the potential for compromise in the future. We all have weak spots and persistent battles of one kind or another, or at least those of us who still have pride, because the Lord has to bring us down where we belong so we can look up at everyone else. John Ramirez quoted something from the scriptures about young lions, and his observation was that it's something very small that later grows into a great big lion and takes over your life. So if you toy with one little lion, when it grows bigger, it gets out of hand. The one little thing the Lord has asked you not to have or do, that one little thing that you hold on to as an affection in your heart, grows into a much bigger passion, which can take over your life. And the devil really knows how to set up opportunities for that. My dear ones, I'm not trying to scare you. Just saying to be consciously examining things that come into your life around this period of time and calculate how they could grow into monsters. We're being targeted. In all of this, though, we are conquerors through Christ Jesus who lives in us. Lord, have you anything to share? Jesus began, I love you so much, Claire, and I'm committed to bringing you to the phase of spirituality that you desire with all of your heart. This is why I allow these things. It is not to punish you, but as you said, to use as a steering fence to keep you safe from the vipers and scorpions. You and I have a truly beautiful relationship, and part of that beauty is my promise to keep you on the right track. Each one of you heart dwellers have the same wonderful relationship. And you've spoken your hearts to me so many times that permission to correct you is a given. This way I keep you tucked into my heart where the abundant life of love and wisdom flow out upon the world. Do not compromise. As Claire learns again and again, there is nothing in this world worth having if it's against my will and best interests for you. You can fudge and manipulate, but sooner or later, I will have to lower the boom, so to speak, and bring you back to my heart, to your first love. Cleave to me, dear ones, and reject the setups and temptations the enemy has laid for you. Understand he is very subtle. Examine the fruits in the long run. Is there a temptation hidden there? Never overestimate your strength in the face of temptation. Boy, is that true. If I hadn't clicked on that navy blue hoodie or on that wine-colored hoodie, I wouldn't have had a problem, but I just couldn't resist. It looked so perfect. He continued, if you are listening very carefully, you will hear my warning either in your head or in your gut. Pay attention to that and stop it at the entrance. And it will not expand to produce rotten fruit in your hearts. I am for you. I am with you. I am in love with each and every one of you, and there is nothing I will withhold from you if it is good for you to have it. Trust me. Listen for my cautions. Consider the repercussions in the long run, and if there is a possibility of compromise, reject it straight out. Close the door on it. Walk away from it. Run away from it. Don't I mean more to you than that? Be firm, be strong, be courageous. All the prayers in the world will be of no avail if you compromise and let it get a stronghold in your life. Beware of the young lions. This is a secret. When you are faithful to think through things and fully obey me, I protect you from serious consequences. I love you. I'm with you. I hold you. Only be faithful to listen carefully and obey. Oh, my dear ones, I just couldn't resist. I was just bouncing this to my desktop and going on the net to look for an image for this, and this rhema came up. Persevere in the things you've begun with the Holy Spirit. Do not forsake your perfection, as happens with certain souls, but avoid all the snares of darkness. Strive always for more perfect things. Amen. Amen. What a beautiful confirmation. Thank you, Holy Spirit.